In this episode of Not Your Average Lives, I am speaking to Tracy Morgan. And Tracy Morgan has an online business about Facebook ads, which I think is super interesting that she didn't know how to run a Facebook ad 2 years ago. And now she coaches people and has a course on running Facebook ads. And what this tells you is that even if you don't know something right now, you can learn it and create a business around it. And I thought that was pretty cool. I always talk about how we as midlifers, people at the middle age of our life, that at the midpoint of our life, that we have so much wisdom and knowledge, and we can look back and see what is it that of value and experiences that we have that we could actually take and create a business out of. And here, Tracy, she had a lot of wisdom and knowledge from her almost 44 years of life at the time when she started this. But then she decided she wanted to learn something new, and she just loved it so much, and she knew she could help people with it. And she has run with it and grown a six-figure business in less than 2 years. So it's quite interesting. And Tracy, we have some parallels in our background. She comes from a corporate world as well. So let's get on with the episode and meet Tracy. Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today I have the Facebook ads fairy godmother. And that was a mouthful, but I'm really excited to have Tracy Morgan here. We are in a group, as many of my guests are, of entrepreneurs, and I've been kind of watching her and seeing her, and she is so great, so helpful to the people, the students in the group, because everybody needs to do a Facebook ad who has a business. So Tracy, welcome. So excited to have you here. So why don't you go ahead and like introduce yourself, talk about what you do. And I would love for you to tell people about how you got into the online business space.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, so as you said, I am the Facebook ads fairy godmother. Somebody, a student of mine sort of gave me that nickname a while back, and I don't even remember who it was, to be honest with you, but it kind of stuck. And it really became sort of a nice encapsulation of what I do. And I originally came into the online space having a very broad business background, came out of corporate, had 25 years of experience doing this, that, and the other thing. And I didn't really have a niche. I didn't really have an idea of how I wanted to show up in the online space. And it took me a while to figure that out. But when I finally kind of locked into Facebook ads, I realized, oh, this is such a perfect blend of the creative and the really nerdy, geeky side of me. It turns out I'm a good teacher and I can really help coach people along. So I really have just sort of kind of come at this a little bit sideways, it feels like, but created a business around that. And that's what I do now. I primarily work with new-ish advertisers. So I work with a lot of folks who've never run an ad before. And then I also have, kind of up the ladder, if you will, I've got people that work with me that run thousands and thousands of dollars of ads all the time. So it really kind of depends on where they are in the world. And I've got where they are in their business world, I should say. And I've got everything from courses to coaching and beyond. So yeah, that's like the nutshell.
there's a, I think about my growth and lack of knowledge in the beginning about Facebook ads. And then now I know a lot more. And I would imagine working with those people, they're very different kind of people. So do you have a preference, or do you find one more? I mean, I think sometimes, I guess if you make a lot of money and you put a lot of money into Facebook ads, it doesn't necessarily mean that you really know Facebook ads, but yep. So how do you balance the two different kind of people and pick and choose?
Yeah. I mean, I think first of all, there's a number of different people who do Facebook ads, and I'm putting air quotes around that, but who help people with Facebook ads. You can do everything from taking a course or hiring a coach or hiring a consultant to hiring an ads manager to really just take over that whole thing for you. And I think a lot of people get in this mindset, especially there's certain programs that really kind of teach it this way too. It's like, oh, if it's not your zone of genius, go out and hire it, which generally speaking, I really, really agree with, but Facebook ads are a little bit different, you know, because if you don't know what you don't know, if you don't know how to read the numbers, if you don't know what questions to ask, it is really tough to feel confident that somebody that you're paying quite a lot of money to run your ads is doing it well. And there's a lot of kind of not great ads managers out there too, people that are new and positioning themselves as more experienced than they are. And, you know, that kind of stuff goes on. It does. I mean, I hate to see it happen, but it definitely happens. So I kind of just, I looked at the whole situation and I said, well, first of all, I don't think everybody needs to hire an ads manager right away. I don't think it's smart. I don't think it's actually the way to grow your business. But I'm also not a big fan of watching people flail around and waste money. And so I sort of identified that there was a bit of the market that just wasn't being served very well. You know, they can't afford to spend $1,500 on a course or $1,500 a month on an ads manager. Most of them are still in and payment programs with, you know, Amy Porterfield's DCA or James Wedmore's BBD or something like that. Adding that additional expense is really overwhelming. And so I kind of created both coaching and my course in a way to give them enough to get going, give them enough to get started and learn and become confident. I mean, building confidence and clarity on the platform is sort of my jam. That's my line. Helping them feel like they know where to go to find the numbers, which numbers to look at, what things mean, you know, which numbers to care about and which ones not to care about. Cause you know, you also see that a little bit too. So yeah
I mean, I think my audience is someone who either is a beginner business owner or somebody who is contemplating having a business. Mm-hmm. Ad thing is like, what is that?
Yeah.
And the thing
and it's one of the most like technical things that you're going to have to do. I mean, not to say that setting up a landing page or a funnel isn't technical, but it's technical and it's also not straightforward.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nuances.
Yeah. I think that it is a very complicated user interface, although I think they've gotten better. But the other thing that people don't know is you talk about Facebook ads and people think, oh yeah, there's just this one kind of ad. Like in the newspaper, I used to put an ad and it was just like, this ad is just like says what you are selling, you know?
Right.
But there's like all kinds of different kinds of ads depending on what you want the ad to accomplish. And there's all different kinds of things. Like, do you want somebody to like the photo in the ad, or do you want to convert them into I mean, there's just so much stuff. So I like the idea of having somebody to shortcut it for you, so the learning process doesn't take forever and you can ask questions too. But yet I still agree with James Wedmore, who I learned from. I don't know who you actually learned from, but and he likes his students to do it and then turn it over. You know, it's better to it's like you're blind if you don't really know it and you are trusting somebody else to do it. And how do you know they're even doing it right or doing it well? And so that's really cool. So let's go back to, we were talking about what made you kind of go into that space. One of the things I always talk about, how it's really important that people that are at midlife realize the wisdom and the knowledge that they've gained that we dismiss. Some of us don't even have any clue. Right. Yet, like you, there's also what we can learn and then teach. And one thing I heard a long time ago that really resonated with me was you only need to know like 5% more than the people that you're teaching, because like you could really help them. I don't think I'd feel confident knowing just 5% more, but Anyways, but the point is that we have to constantly keep learning and growing. And I know that now when I take a course and I sign up for a course, I used to think, oh my gosh, that's more than I want to spend. But now I think, oh, this is going to be a return on my investment because I can take it and teach it to the people that I work with. So tell me how you really made that decision, how you kind of leaned into Facebook ads as kind of the, did you do any like research or get feedback from people that said, you know more than I do and you should do something with this?
You know, I'll be honest, it was a little bit different than that. You know, I have a marketing background. That's what I've always done. But I've also sort of always been that person that you go to when your technology doesn't work correctly. I can't figure this phone out. My printer's not connecting. You know, that sort of, I was always that person. I can't get this Excel sheet to work properly. So I knew that I had a facility for technology. So that was always sort of in the background kind of running. I worked for Best Buy Corporate. I trained Geek Squad agents how to build computers. I mean, all kinds of crazy things, but generally speaking, out of a marketing or at least marketing development side of things. So I had that. And I was, like I said before, I was trying to be this sort of generic, oh, I can help you with everything. And that just wasn't working. I couldn't market myself. I mean, you've heard that line, right? If we're trying to be too generic or we're trying to market to everybody, we're really honestly marketing to no one. And I kind of got into Facebook ads because some of my clients wanted to know how to run them. And I was like, I don't know how to run them. This is crazy. But I found a mentor that I was sort of interested in, and I was taking a bunch of her free stuff and I was out there doing that. And it turned out that we got onto a phone call together, and she was recruiting for a program, a high-end program of hers that helps people become Facebook ads managers, helps them build a business as an ads manager.
Ah.
So they could learn that aspect of things. So knowing how to run lots of different types of ads, knowing how to build a business around that, knowing how to service clients, you know, that type of thing. And honestly, even from the beginning, I was like, I don't think that's me. And she was like, I actually think it's you. I think you could be really good at this. And it made me step back and think, like, gosh, isn't it so interesting that somebody has to recognize this from the outside sometimes? But it never occurred to me to learn Facebook ads. I'd never really run ads before. I had maybe boosted a post, or I'd like run an ad for a client one time that I'm sure was absolute garbage. But at the end of the day, I was like, well, you know, I don't know. I guess I could learn. But I also knew from the get-go that I've been at this for a very long time in terms of working with clients, client management. I was like, I don't really want that side of it. I don't want to be out there hustling for one-on-one clients. I didn't want to build an agency. I don't even want to have a ton of employees. You know, that's not of interest to me at this point in my life, at this point in my career. And so I resisted some of that right in the early days, but I was sort of like piecing it together. I was doing a little bit of ads management for this client. And then when they moved on from that, they became a coaching client of mine. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, I guess I got a coaching thing here. And I actually built my coaching membership first and brought people in as a mentor from that angle before I even started putting together. I didn't even want to have a course. I thought courses, no way does anybody have $1,000 or $1,500 to spend on this stuff. I mean, people do, but they were a different part of the clientele for me. And so I kind of even resisted that for a while too. And it even took me a year or so to put together an actual course. But I'm glad I waited because I think it was important for me to see what the market needed and see who was coming in and see what the experiences were and really get to know my audience, my people really well to know what they were struggling with and how to answer those needs for them. Because it's not just about learning how to click, click, click and set up an ad, right? That's one ad, like you were saying, and one time, and every time you go onto that darn platform, it's a little bit different dance. And so not knowing that, it can be really frustrating. People think, oh, I've got this little bonus module that teaches me how to set up this one ad. That's all I need. I got it for free with this other course. That's all I'm ever going to need. It's not going to get it. Like, that is not going to be enough to actually grow your business. So yeah, so for me, it was sort of a process of somebody kind of helping me recognize what I was good at, but then also taking that in and taking, I guess that's where the experience comes in, is to be able to step back a little bit and say, where is the opportunity here? What can I do? What can I make a name for myself as opposed to going toe to toe with everybody else out there or having to build an agency or do this other work? So that's how I started to refine not only the niche, but also who I work with, who I serve, which actually is a little bit broader than that, but also what they really need at the end of the day.
Yeah. So I love what you said about what you wanted in a business.
Yes.
Because
super important.
And I think that's one thing that held me back so much from like being my own boss and doing my own thing and just kind of wanting to have kind of a cookie cutter that, you know, like I had mentioned in a pre-interview, I was corporate, then went to network marketing and then did my own thing. But I always had this vision in my head that if you were a CEO, you had to have this big, huge company with, you know, really important COO and all these C people by your side, and you're the leader of, and that to me, that was a little overwhelming because all these limiting beliefs you have about what you're really capable of. And I didn't want to deal with employees or payroll. And like right now, my team, I just pay them on PayPal and TransferWise, which is another service. So can you describe to me, because I would love for people to know what your business actually looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, I see you sitting, you have a lovely place. Is that your office?
Yes, I'm in my office in my home, and I spend most of my time here. I do actually have a studio in the city as well. We live a little bit outside of New Orleans, which is wonderful. It's very kind of rural up here, and that's not really rural, but where we live is. So it's very like trees and separated and quiet. And then I was dying for the city. I was just missing it so much that I just rented a studio apartment. I'm like, I need some access back in there. So sometimes I work from there. So, but most part I'm right here. And in terms of the structure of the business, I think I'm kind of where you were. And honestly, I will say I have plenty of limiting beliefs. Don't get me wrong. I'm constantly a work in motion in terms of like cracking one belief and then it comes back and bites you in the butt, you know, 6 months later and, you know, all of those things. It's an ongoing process. But I also really it wasn't that I was thinking I wasn't capable of running a team or capable of growing a business out. I just didn't want to do it. I'm like, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, no interest in doing that anymore. And I'm the same. I have a couple of VAs that I work with on the regular. I'm starting to grow them into bigger positions, but they're still going to be, you know, VA type folks. I'm not going to be hiring anybody. I don't see that happening. Maybe, I don't know, maybe next year I might want to add somebody that's a full-time employee, but right now I don't even want that. So
yeah, it's so nice that we can do this in this day and age. We can do this.
Yes.
I have two people that work for me that are in the Philippines.
Yep.
And they're just amazing. They're wonderful. My podcast editor, and he'll be listening to this. So I have to talk him up big. He's great.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah. Yeah. But I just think it's great that we can just design what we want. And
Yeah.
So tell me about you talked about being in the corporate world, and I don't think we talked about your age. I always like to tell people they're, you know, because it's we're midlifers. So you're 48.
I'm 48. Yep. I'll be 49 in November in just a few months. So yeah.
And you've been doing this since 44, but you said you had, when we were talking before we got on, that you had a brick and mortar. You went corporate brick and mortar, and then you started the online business.
I've been all over the place, Lori. I'm kind of a mess. I'm not going to lie. I'm sort of one of those constantly with my finger in a different pie and trying things out and kind of assessing what's going on. Yeah, I went into business with a client, actually. And we became business partners on a brick and mortar in Minneapolis. So I'm actually from Minneapolis originally and lived up there for most of my adult life. Actually, I just moved down here. So part of the pausing in me growing my online business was we kept moving. So we moved from Minneapolis down here. And that was just after I had left the business, sold off my portion to her and left the business and decided, yeah, I needed to do something a little bit different. I even had a little spot in the middle where I was doing interior design and reselling vintage housewares. So I had that business going in Minneapolis, which I loved doing. And I thought I would do it down here, but I really actually had a hard time finding inventory. And just a different culture down here a little bit. People either have stuff that's like really, really, really old, beautiful, valuable antiques or not. And I don't know if that's sort of a repercussion of the hurricanes of Katrina coming through and a lot of things were lost, or I'm not really sure what the deal is, but I realized, oh, this is not going to work. So I was doing some interior design from afar. Most of my clients were in Minneapolis and I was working with them from down here. And that was at the same time when I was just like itching around and trying to figure out what I wanted to do. But that was my transition. It was actually great because those were sort of my one-on-one clients that got me through from taking B school to finally finding my way to Facebook ads and taking BBD. I signed up for BBD. And that really for me was, and that's Business by Design, that's James Wedmore's program. That really for me was taking everything that I had figured out, taking the Facebook ads part of it, and then bringing it together in a way that was like, oh no, I can actually grow a business out of this. I can actually make this work, which was huge. I mean, I went from, I think I made 30 grand in 2018. And last year I did six figures, you know, I mean, it was a big, big, big shift for me to be able to kind of, to move from basically zero to a six-figure business very quickly. But going back to what you were saying, I think it's really important to invest in yourself, invest in the tools that you need, find the right resources, continue learning forever and ever. I invest in lots of things now to keep myself, you know, sharp with my ads, but also, you know, to learn how to grow my business efficiently and all of that good stuff too. I am pretty sure I did not answer your question very well there, but good stuff at any rate.
Well, yeah, I think what I love that you did go into is that you basically in less than 2 years didn't know what you're going to do. And now you have a six-figure business. And yes, I think what I really want to highlight from that is that the online space is, it's like the world is our oyster. And yes, we as midlifers, as mm-hmm. I'll call us, empty nesters, or in your case, you have puppies. yes. But you know, you're old enough to be an empty nester. We have so much, not only experience, mm-hmm. but you are doing something that you weren't experienced in, but you had experience. So you had yeah. confidence that you could figure it out. You know, some people don't have confidence yet, but there's the analogy of you're never going to learn it until you do it. You know, you can't, yep. you can read about how to ride a bicycle, but until you actually get on the bike and, you know, fall a couple times, you're not going to yep. really learn it. So yes. like, it's so easy nowadays, I think, to fail. Because I think, you know, I think when you fail and you're honest about it and you let people watch you fail, people think they know you better, you know, you're more, yeah. it's more authentic. And so just people, it's not like behind the curtain is whoever now. If you just, the more right. open and honest and real you are and fail forward, the more you connect with the people that you want to connect with, yeah. which I think is great. So that's you started, you were in marketing. Mm-hmm. So you worked at a corporate job. What did you think about when you did marketing? Did you like get a degree in marketing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. I got a degree in marketing. I went into the corporate job and, you know, did all the things you were supposed to do, got married, did all those things you were supposed to do. You know, to my mother, it was the, you know, epitome of success to have health insurance and a 401k match. And I always knew, like, I kind of knew early on that it wasn't really my best fit. But I didn't know what I didn't know, and I wasn't really sure where to go with it. And I think for me, going through the process, like, I recognized that I needed just more life experience. I needed more work experience. I also worked for a couple of really great companies. I started my professional career at Target in the buying offices there in Minneapolis, and worked for a number of other different companies as well, but came out of Best Buy corporate, you know, so I had great experience to huge brands. I worked with, you know, some startup corporations. I worked from all different types of companies and learned a lot. I mean, I learned so very much. And that was really, for me, kind of the trade-off was I didn't love having a 9-to-5 job or an 8-to-6 job or whatever, you know, whatever that really is. And I found myself, as I was in later jobs, finding opportunities that were a little bit more flexible. Like, I didn't necessarily want to be in an office every single day. I wanted to travel a little bit more. And that really kind of helped me choose the last couple of JOBs, like my real jobs that I was in. But that also just kind of kept underlining for me that I was trying to create a life around my work. I didn't really want my work to be my entire life. And it had been for a long time. I mean, in those young years, and especially in big corporations, you know, they eat their young. That's the whole yeah. goal. They recruit you out of college and then they just work you to death for a while. And some make it, some don't. It's kind of crazy, but I would never trade off the experience of doing it, but I would never go back. I would never go back.
Yeah.
One thing I think that helped though, and talking about all of the things that you have to work with going through the process, and I know James Wedmore, our James, says this all the time about how owning your own business is like one of the most critical, big, huge, important personal development projects you'll ever undertake, because you do work so much on mindset and potentiality and all of the things that go along with, you know, however, whatever you have to piece together to become successful. One of the things that I think really helped me coming out of the corporate world and coming out of a six-figure job was that I never had a problem asking to get paid what I was worth. And I don't think that that is necessarily a common thing. And especially people that I bump into are always a little bit weirded out about charging what they're worth. And certainly I've started, you know, I started my business with less experience, so I didn't charge as much, but I came out of that pretty quickly, realizing that it wasn't going to help anybody else if I couldn't at least put together enough experience to get them going too and help them grow their businesses as well. But I think I was a little bit lucky in that sense that I had somewhere developed that skill way back when and have no problem with it. I mean, as a Facebook ads manager, I mean, you probably know this if you hire somebody, but you know, $1,500 to $2,000 a month per client is about average. Some charge quite a bit more. And so to be able to go into that situation and say like, yeah, I'm totally worth that. You're absolutely going to get good results because I know what I'm doing. You have to be able to sort of put that together. And I think that's the same for a lot of people looking down the barrel of their online business and trying to ask for the right amount of money, price their services or their products appropriately. I think we struggle with that sometimes, especially as women. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's all about, but I think we do. Figuring out how to put it all together. I did a $497 product. I created a $497 course very purposefully though. It's not that I don't think it's worth $997 or some other arbitrary number. I know it's worth a lot. I mean, getting those first ads going, making those first launches happen, not wasting money on Facebook ads, that's hugely valuable. But I very clearly saw that there was an opportunity in the market for a lower priced course. And I wanted to fill that niche. I wanted to work with the people who were newer and didn't have that confidence yet to invest in a $1,500 course. So I think it's sort of interesting. I don't know if you bump into that in your world too, about people starting businesses, but we have to get paid. We have got to ask for what we're worth.
Right. Yeah. The other thing with Facebook ads, you know, I think what's people don't realize until they start doing it is you have to spend money on ads plus pay for an ads manager.
Yes.
So it's like you pay this $1,500 a month or whatever that may be. And it's like, oh, and then more money because they have to run ads and how much do you want to spend and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It can get pricey quickly if you don't know where you're going with things. And that's especially why mm-hmm. I think it's important to learn the basics first. So yeah. that you can run those first couple of ad campaigns yourself and get to the point where your business is actually generating enough money so you can invest.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you want to do is launch with this hanging over your head of like, this is the only way I can pay my ads manager is by launching. It's like, no, that's a bad way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of ads managers, they expect you know, to continue with them. So you have a longer term engagement, you know, it's not like I'm not going to just do this campaign and then be done. Exactly. Maybe some do, maybe some who are starting out. But so I ended up finding a Facebook ads manager coincidentally. So before I joined BBD, mm-hmm. I wanted to sell t-shirts because I don't know. I just had this idea. I'll build a store online and I self-taught myself. And nowadays that's the other thing is I get really tired of people saying I'm not technical because it's like Google it or, you know, YouTube it or whatever they say, search for it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and a lot of applications nowadays have such great tutorials.
Oh my gosh. So
and they have chats and people are sending you emails right after you sign up with tutorials and stuff. So don't ever be afraid if you're listening, you know, of the tech because it's so easy nowadays. And I didn't even know how to create a Facebook group when I started an online business. So it's like, I'm not saying I'm a huge techie, but I'm not afraid of computers. So anyways, so I when I did my Shopify store, you know, there's a marketplace on there and you can get people. And I got to a certain point where I kind of got stuck in the tech and I was like, I just want to pay somebody to do it for me.
Yeah.
And so I met this guy from Canada and he had an ads person. And so I had him do my ads for a year. And they did good. I mean, I liked him, but I had an idea that my son-in-law had worked in a corporate world. And he was like an e-com guy and he had taken some time off and was like kind of do stay-at-home dad thing. And I knew he had the skill set that could help. Even though he didn't really know Facebook ads really good, I knew that he could help me.
Yep.
And he's been doing my ads since December. And actually, he's turned into like my main right-hand guy. And he
love it.
Yeah. So yeah, the people that need, you know, I pay him. And I do think he gives me a good deal. But the people that can help you could be right under your nose and you don't even know it. And and then always referrals. You can get referrals from people. But so I have a question for you.
Sure.
So your mom, like my mom, it's like, that you're not going to make money doing that. You need to do that. And so of course I did what my heart was not calling me for, but it worked out because I made lots of money. But in the end, I was like not happy in my job. So is your mom still around?
Mm-hmm. She is. Yeah.
What does she think about this type of
work? Oh, she loves it now. She's, you know, she thinks it's fantastic. And she obviously can see that it's much more of a fit for me. You know, I think basically she's just like, as long as you're like taking care of yourself and you can support yourself and, you know, you can buy health insurance, put your own money away for retirement or whatever that looks like. No, but no, she had to come along too. But you know what? The other thing that I think was really cool, the whole vintage resale business actually started with her. She and I decided, I don't know, probably like 15 years ago now, we like looked at a bunch of crappy furniture from a garage sale one day. We're like, God, this would be so cute if it was just white. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, we are in business and she's actually had a vintage resale business in one of those like little antique mall kind of things for years. She mostly does mid-century and mid to late century stuff from the last century, of course, but I think
she buys the stuff and resells it, or does she refinish it and sell it? Okay.
She mostly, you know, she does not necessarily love doing all the putzing around that I like to do. I like to get my hands dirty. But we bought a fixer-upper house for much the same reason. I like the projects. I like getting in there and actually, you know, doing the stuff. She's a little bit more like, I'll clean it, but then it better sell on its own for like 10 times what I paid for it, you know, kind of thing. So
that's so funny. My grandmother and grandfather owned an antique store in Massachusetts.
Oh, cool.
And my dad has three sisters and my dad never got involved in it. We lived in Virginia, so he moved away and wasn't involved in the antique business, but they were all, their houses are all filled
Amazing.
With beautiful antiques.
Amazing.
And they live in old houses that, yeah, it's, I love antiques. I love the smell because it reminds me when I was a kid and I used to go into their store and yeah.
That scent memory is so interesting, isn't it? So I got into a car of a friend of mine that works at a thrift shop and his car, because he moves a lot of stuff around, his car smells like my mom's car. Which doesn't sound romantic in the least, but you know, there's just that smell. And I'm like, oh, I miss all my fun thrift shops and all the fun stuff I was finding. But yeah. That's what I do when I go back there is I shop like a crazy woman.
Do they have big flea markets? Cause they would
not really the flea market. Yeah. We don't do flea markets so much in the Midwest. I mean, they're there, but we mostly just go to thrift shops and garage sales and estate sales and every dirty, nasty, disgusting place you can imagine.
So that's kind of like a hobby still, it sounds like.
Still is for me, but I got rid of most. I guess I probably have a couple of boxes of inventory still, but I brought a lot down here thinking that I would still sell, and I did. I was selling on Etsy. I had a pretty successful business on there, and it really was just mostly fun. I wasn't making boku bucks or anything like that. I mean, the idea was it was a transition point to getting my online business together, and I was like, I just have to stop this. And I needed to pull the plug. I sold off all my stuff, and I was like, and we're done. So yeah, I had to get serious about what I was actually going to make money. There was no six figures in that business.
So you're quite a dabbler and learner and doer. And so I'm wondering, were you guilty of, this is me, so I'm just asking, were you a workaholic perhaps when you were in the corporate world? Did you
have
long hours and burn the camera?
You know, not crazy. I wouldn't say crazy. I was never one of those like 80 hour a week kind of girls, but I always took really tough jobs. Man, I would always take these jobs that nobody wanted. I was like some sort of weird masochist, but I kind of felt like I could do anything. And I would take these crazy jobs with totally crazy bosses. And I'm telling you, it ended up sucking the life force out of me. I just thought, oh my gosh, if I run into another crazy person again, it's going to be all over. I mean,
so you like challenges.
Apparently. Yeah. I mean, I think what it comes down to, and I think this is what you were getting at too before about like being able to teach yourself things. It's just a great amount of resilience and grit. Like if you've got some resilience and grit and you're just willing to kind of learn and do whatever, you can accomplish anything you want. I think that you have to be fueled by something more than that. But I think personality wise, like you can adapt that personality. You can say, I'm just going to be really resilient. And if I don't know how, I can go learn how to do that too, right? There are ways that I can learn how to be a more resilient human. I can. But I think that when you combine that with a drive for building a business that has some guts to it, a strong why behind it, I think that really has to be it. Because not every day is good. Not every month is good. You know, it took a long time to figure things out. And I really wasn't even sure sometimes if it was going to work. Some days I'm still wondering. But, you know, I continue to have success with this. But I think it's because I have a drive to create something a little bit bigger. And not because I'm trying to hand it to children that I don't have, right? Or not because I'm trying to make a huge impact in the world. That's not necessarily it for me. I want to have money so I can have safety and security. I want to have choices. Mm-hmm. That's really what it boils down to for me, is freedom and choices. And then also to very specifically support the people that I love in this business, the other entrepreneurs, especially women, especially people who are taking skills from before and turning them into something. I mean, it's sort of like a weird magician act, right? We can take what we did before, add a little magic and turn it into something completely new. And that really interests me. Like, I am very passionate about helping people. And I think you are too, about helping people become that new version of themselves. And we can do it when we're in our 40s and 50s. I mean, 60s and 70s and everything, which is cool.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, I'm a big advocate of get sparked, light your soul on fire, or however you want to describe that, what it is for you. But so do you feel lit up? Do you get excited? I had this thing where I would dread Sunday nights.
Oh, me too. Oh my gosh. Or wake up in the middle of the night with all the things you forgot to do. My anxiety was through the freaking roof.
Yeah, I had anxiety.
It was terrible. Oh God, it was the worst thing.
Anxiety attacks. But you know, at one point I had like 55 people in my organization.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if that's one reason why I don't want that now. I had that.
No, and I think for me too, the same thing. I'm like, I've done the team building thing, and I'm not saying that I won't, but I'm just saying for me right now, and James Wedmore, if you're listening to this, we do hear you. We do. I know that you want us to hire people, but
I have hired people.
Exactly. It's not exactly for everybody, but yeah.
I have a team of three, and that for now is good. And
it's good.
I don't want an office. I do not want to go have an office that employees come to. To me, that's like prison.
Yeah, no, same. My commute is wonderful. It's just down the hallway and nobody's here to bug me except my dogs. And that's enough. That's plenty.
And isn't it great to have coworkers that are dogs?
You know, it has been, actually, it's been really challenging. I'll tell you what, they're very energetic and they're very young. So that's part of it. But we got daycare down and that was like, oh, perfect. Right. But I'll tell you what, this whole COVID thing really threw a wrench in a lot of this for a while. My business didn't slow down in the least, which was wonderful.
Which is another advantage of online business.
Right?
Yeah.
But daycare closed. And I was like, oh my God, if I can string together an hour to think, I would pay money to somebody, anybody.
Oh, that's so funny. You sound like my daughter like has kids.
Constant thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was a little
pet
crazy.
Owner's perspective, yes. Of what?
Oh my gosh, I don't know how people are doing this and homeschooling their children or whatever. Bless.
Yeah. That's one thing I'm thankful of. You know, being a senior is I don't have to worry about any children at home.
Nobody to educate here, just me.
Yeah, and that's got to put a strain on marriages. Gosh, I don't even want to know. So, anyways, what movie we're gonna watch on Netflix is the biggest stress.
Same. What we're gonna have for dinner? Biggest problem we've got here at home.
Yeah. So, anyways, okay. So, in closing, tell me what you just would like to leave the listeners knowing. I think you've dropped a lot of really good insight.
Oh, I hope so. I think that. I guess what I really want people to come away with is that we're certainly not limited by age. We're not limited by age, young or old, or experience, lots of experience or a little experience. I think if you have a desire to create a different experience for yourself in terms of work and life, I think I recognized very early for me that I didn't want to like work until I was 62 and then retire and then live my life. for me, it was much more important to live my life while I was also working. I had this idea of an integrated, there's no work-life balance. I don't think that's a thing. I think work-life integration makes a lot more sense. Sometimes work takes a little more weight. Sometimes life takes a little bit more weight and you can check out of work, but that you can create that for yourself. It is actually really, really possible. The technology, the access, the ease, it's not expensive, right? We don't have to go out and spend $200,000 building out a commercial kitchen. You know, like we don't have to invest huge amounts of dollars in order to create a dream business. We can actually do that almost on a shoestring. I'm not going to say on a shoestring, but almost on a shoestring.
I have a closet full of pantsuits and right. jackets. And it's like, you don't even have to have a wardrobe.
Nope. I had a whole new wardrobe when I got Target into this t-shirt. World and I started traveling. I'm like, I want to look cute, but I want to be real comfortable. That's kind of like, you know, as long as I'm comfortable in this part of my life, I am really, really happy.
Yeah. I mean, I look nice here, but I actually have leggings on.
Yeah. And, oh, you know, I absolutely have like wide leg lounge pants on right now. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you watch, what's it called? Some Good News?
John? No. The John Krakowski thing. Yeah. Yes, I haven't seen it. I mean, I've seen it, but I haven't like watched a lot of it.
Yeah. He's amazing and so funny. And a couple times he stood up and had like underwear or some, you know, long johns or something. Right. Yeah. He's like always in a tie. And
it's the business mullet. It's party, you know, it's a professional on top and party on the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, one of my recent guests, she used to be a casting director for The Office.
Unbelievable.
She knows how cool him. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I love him. So thank you so much. It was so good to have some time with you and to really get to know you outside of the Facebook group we're in. And absolutely. Yeah, thanks for sharing your wisdom.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
And if anybody needs Facebook ads, then we'll put your links to how to reach out to you in the show notes.
Fabulous. Yeah, I would love to hear from you. Thanks, Lori.
All right. Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.